As you can see, I've been joined by Chris, who's a member of the church family here. Chris, could you just introduce yourself, tell us who you are, about your family, what you do for a job?
Hi there, I'm Chris. I'm married to Paget, and we've got three children. Hannah is 16, Alice is 14, Finn is 12. I run the maths department at a school in Malvern, and we've been in Worcester now, well, Worcestershire, for, this is our 11th year. Padge can't quite believe it. But there, yeah.
Yeah, and you've been at Wood Green for most of that time?
We attended one church in Malvern once, and it was so disastrous that we didn't go back. We knew about Wood Green because Padge was actually at university with Mike Orty's son. And so, yeah, we had a contact there, and we came along. We were unbelievably well-welcomed, and we've stuck it since, even though it's a 20-mile round trip twice a Sunday.
Yeah, so that's why you're normally in 11.30, to give you...
We are normally at 11.30.
...give you time to make the journey. Well, thank you for being with us at this early hour. So, do you have any Easter traditions in your family?
Well,
you normally doing chocolate?
As you say, because it's so early, I haven't had time to eat any chocolate yet. But my teenage children were out of bed this morning. Let's do breakfast so we can hand out the chocolate. So the big Easter tradition, because we've got younger cousins, we're going to my parents-in-law up for lunch today, and there will be an Easter egg hunt around the garden. Okay. So Easter egg hunt is a big tradition.
Very good. And just before we turn on to more serious questions, you are a world champion. What are you a world champion at, Chris?
So I play a very strange game called fives, which is a bit like squash, but with your hands. You hit a hard ball against a wall. It's done in very few schools. Anyway, my first teaching job, I had a couple of girls who were playing the game and said, "Sir, is there a competition we can enter?" And at the time, there wasn't a girls' competition, but there was a mixed doubles competition. So I said to them, "Well, I'll partner one of you," and a colleague of mine partnered the other one. We went to this competition. I was significantly better than the other players there. So we ended up winning. And as my headmaster at the time said, "Well, given that England's the only country that plays fives, you are technically world champions."
Very good. Chris will be in the sports hall between services if you want to
demonstrate.
If you want to try and take on a world champion.
Yeah.
But more seriously, Chris, your life changed quite suddenly when you were about 18 or 19. You'd been on a gap year. Tell us what you've been doing on that gap year and what news did you receive on coming back from your travels?
Yeah, so I had a fairly typical gap year, I guess, in that I worked for 4 months to try and earn money to travel a bit. Went to Australia and New Zealand for 4 months. Slightly hedonistic, I have to say. But then came back and worked for a homeless charity in London, which was a real eye-opener. So that was sort of May through to July. But I think we arrived, but I got back in... I can't remember the exact timings on all of this, but I think it was about May time. Got back and found out Mum had got cancer. So I think it started off as lymph cancer, or maybe it ended up as that, or a bit of lung, and then there was a brain tumour. And we progressed to about September, and I think then she got the diagnosis that she had a year to live. Mm. And how did I feel about that? It was really, really strange, because I'd been at a boarding school. My dad was a teacher, and we got preferential rates. And I guess I had a fairly distant relationship with my parents in my teenage years. So, you know, I was, you know, wasn't at home a huge amount. I'd spent a whole year, gap year away. So I think my brother, who was 2 years younger than me, was probably more affected. He was still living at home. So we went off to university. And I remember driving down, I went to university in Exeter, and just driving down the M5. And as the mileage got lower and lower, I was getting more and more nervous and more sort of caught up in, goodness me, am I going to meet some nice people? Am I, you know, etc. Mum and Dad saw me into my room, and I think I was so a mixture of just emotions all over the place, and I didn't realise that was the last time I was going to see my mum. I thought we had a year. They left. I think a week later, Mum fell over in the churchyard going to do flower rota or something, hit her head, and that was it. She was then in a... I went home at the weekend, saw her in hospital in a coma, and she died 4 days later. Wow. So, end of my first 2 weeks at university.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is hard for any teenager to process that, all those events happening in such a short period of time. Yeah. How did you cope in the moment with the people that supported you?
I had a full mixture of advice and comfort. I mean, I think it's very strange. So you're with a whole, you know, you've got a Christian union at university. People I'd met once or twice. They're 18, 19, trying to deal with something significant. Some of them say the right things. Others don't, so I had to process people saying some quite unhelpful things, like I hadn't prayed hard enough for her recovery. But on the other hand, I certainly felt very loved. I think I felt guilty that I wasn't more emotional about it, and I think I could say now that the emotion has come out over 20, 30 years. Very gradually at certain times. So, you know, wedding day, my wedding was tinged with sadness because my mum wasn't there. She's never met my grandchildren. Sorry, her grandchildren, not my grandchildren. But at the back of all of this is just, I guess, a deep, you know, I had a strong Christian faith, although I certainly lived life as if I didn't at times.
Yeah.
But I think, believe it or not, was just this knowledge that we would see each other again.
Yeah, yeah. I'll ask you about that a bit more in a moment. But just before I come back to that, a few years ago you had some more tragic news. You received news about the loss of your godson. Tell us what happened and how did that impact you?
So, yeah, Patch and I were very fortunate going to church in London. We had a group of really close friends, sort of got married at the same time, had children at the same time. We all became godparents to each other's children. We holidayed together, all the rest of it. And I think it's 5 years ago now, 4.5 years ago now, Charlie was just starting sixth form. He'd been to a party one night, come home, had just woke up in the middle of the night in pain. Parents rushed him to the hospital. Nothing could be done. And it basically, a hormone that suppresses the buildup of urea or whatever wasn't present or had collapsed, and urea flooded his brain and basically poisoned him, and he died within 12 hours. Yeah. So that was just an incredible shock, I mean, for all of us. And I think one of the most, a mixture of emotions, just being, I remember praying with Christian colleagues at school, and this unbelievable hopelessness, helplessness, sadness, but also this amazing rejoicing in God's provision and what God, Jesus, has done for us on the cross and rising again. So you've got these really weird mixture of stuff going through that you're meant to be utterly devastated. We were utterly devastated, but at the same time, there is hope in it. And that's... It's confusing.
Yeah. And just could you just try to summarise, kind of in all those mixed emotions, what difference does Easter Sunday, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus make to how you look at those events compared to how other people might look at the loss of your mum, your godson?
Yeah, well, I think the other thing, so I've also experienced two student deaths in my teaching career. One when I taught in London, a boy drunk too much on a school trip and drowned in his vomit, which wasn't particularly pleasant. And the other one, we had a very tragic death at the school I teach at last term. And that both of them, as far as I'm aware, neither child or family had a Christian faith. And there is just a crippling sense of hopelessness about it. I mean, you see the effect on this boy's friends last term. They can't function. And I think 17, 18-year-olds think the world is ahead of them. They're not used to experiencing a death cut short. In fact, well, none of us are used to, you know, experiencing a death cut short. But by contrast, I guess, if I think of the funerals of my mum and Charlie, they were filled with a real sense of hope. And I think there were a lot of people at Charlie's funeral who weren't Christians, who were just slightly confused. And the message, you know, the friend of ours preached, and it was just amazing. You know, so it's just amazing hope in the sense of defeat.
Yeah.
And I think everybody else feels that's the end. And I kind of think of it as, materially, I think, I asked myself when I was thinking about this, am I afraid of dying? I thought, I don't want my life to be cut short because God's got good things for us. I think it's a bit like the build-up to Christmas. On December the 20th, I don't want December the 25th to happen the next day. I like the build-up. And the main event is still there. But we've still got all the excitement to come. So I think that's how I feel about it. The main event is after we die, but there's still so much good stuff that God's got for us before then.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, yeah, and, you know, it reminds me of, you know, Paul saying to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yeah.
It's amazing to hear you share that perspective, you know, even in the midst of those tragic events. Mm. So thank you so much for opening up and sharing your experience. Can we just show our appreciation for Chris, please?
Thank you.